10 steps to a peaceful night. Set a wake-up time. It doesn't matter what time, as long as it's the same time every day, weekend or no. And 8 hours after you went to bed.
I'm not going to be getting up at 5:30 in the weekends. That's not going to happen.
Exercise. It'll help tire the body and send more oxygen and endorphin-rich blood to your brain, potentially boosting mood and meaning, a less anxious mind.
Yeah.
Get outdoors. I suppose that's tied to the exercise. If you get daily exercise outdoors, all the better. Oh yeah, so if you exercise, do it outdoors. Mm. Some people might exercise indoors if it's the gym or whatever, but being outdoors is important. Eat less before bed. No to large carbohydrate-rich meals in the evening. Now this one, I have to take you to task on this, Professor Guy Lejeuner. No afternoon brew, he said. You should stop consuming caffeine after lunch. Ridiculous, that's a stupid thing to say.
I've heard that before. No, I have heard that before, because I know people would say don't have tea or coffee late at night. But they're saying that lunchtime is the cutoff point. Yeah, I have heard that before.
Caffeine keeps you awake by blocking receptors in the brain from detecting the sleepiness hormone and adenosine.
Yeah.
Adenosine. Meditate. Have a sober supper. Cut down on your alcoholic consumption. No late cigarettes, as well as your no late brews. Screen-free reading. Don't be reading a mobile phone or an e-book or whatever before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Book all the way
Blue
if you're
light,
reading.
They're saying, yeah.
And upstairs and lights out, number 10.
What's that mean?
It says one central element of sleep hygiene is to use the bed for nothing but sleep. In brackets. And we want you to have an almost Pavlovian response to bed. I don't know what that means.
Pavlov.
Oh, okay, indeed. You see, you know more than I about this. But essentially, bed for sleep and nothing else.
Okay. Yes, I would agree with an awful lot of those, but I genuinely think most people do a lot of those as well. Do you know what I mean?
A lot of those are so common sense, but we're not doing it. We are eating too late. We're drinking caffeine too late. We're drinking beer.
A glass of wine will help me sleep.
Yeah, but maybe not. We're not getting exercise as much as we should, and we're definitely not having a screen-free read and screen-free bedtime.
My daughter bought me these fantastic things for Christmas, right? They're these eye patches, for some reason, I actually genuinely don't know how they work, but when you open them up, they're kind of one-use things. When you open them up and you put them on your eyes, they heat up.
Oh,
I don't know what's in them, but they react to whatever, and they heat up.
A comfortable heat, like?
Absolutely glorious. Oh. They are glorious. When I put those bad boys on, I am gone.
Really?
Gone asleep. They're fantastic. Now, the only thing is, they only work the once. So, you'd need to have an internal supply of them, but they're brilliant.
If there was a point 11 on this list, I wonder, would it be sleep on your own if possible?
Oh, here he goes. You definitely have a thing about this, that you don't like sharing a bed with somebody.
Yeah, even though I do share a bed with my other half, but there are nights either she or I will go into the spare room because we can't sleep or tossing and turning or whatever. I think if you have the means to do so, sleeping separately is the way forward. Honestly, you can't tell me that you will get a better night's sleep with somebody else in the bed. I really believe that. Okay. And I wish it were less taboo.
I know, I know what you're saying.
If you could be married to somebody and say, do you know what, hon?
I love you.
Work nights and weeknights, let's just sleep in separate rooms here because both of us will benefit.
It should be number 11 on the list, according to Dr. Vincent Bradley.
There you go.